Coming to you from Orange County, California, this is the Jug Life Podcast with Max Ada and Chad Wesley Smith.
Hey everybody, welcome to Juggernaut Live, Jugger Babe Edition. Today we're just answering all of your questions that you posted on of our Instagram, and also just questions that you guys have as you're watching this live. So we're just going to go around the room and introduce ourselves, what weight class we're competing in, and Meg.
Cool. My name is Meg Scanlon, and I'm competing in the 57 weight class.
My name is Kristen Dunsmore, and I'm competing at the 72 open weight class.
Marisa Inda, competing as a 52 kilo lifter.
I'm Maddie Forberg, and I'm a 57 kilogram junior lifter.
Joanne Ada, competing as a 57 kilogram M1 masters lifter.
And can we just say, like, hello, Team Juggernaut got the most open female lifters, as well as like the entire Juggernaut ladies team going to world. So shout out to our coaches, Chad Wesley Smith and Max Ada.
Ada.
You know him.
I know him. This is true.
We got together. Oh, no. That's why Chris got that one so fast.
She didn't get it. She's just laughing.
I got it. She's just happy to be there.
She was laughing about something five minutes
ago. Arm in arm, hand in hand. That's what I meant.
However you get it done. all right, let's maybe just kind of continue that introduction part of things so people can get to know you a little bit better. Where you live, where you train, and maybe what got you into powerlifting.
Cool. All right, so I live outside of Boston, and I train currently in my garage, which is great. And I got into powerlifting when there wasn't like one specific instance, but I got into powerlifting because I got hurt running. And it made sense.
Yeah. So I live currently in San Diego. I train out of a Convoy Strength, that is Amber Abway's gym. And I got into powerlifting because when I was in my undergrad, I was doing research in, it was the Human Performance Lab, and part of the requirement for our research study was doing a training protocol that involved the squat, bench, and deadlift. And I was like, oh, that's like fun. I don't know, like you can compete in it. So that's kind of how I figured out what powerlifting actually was. Your turn.
I train out of my garage in Pomona, and then I also train out of the Jugger Garage here in Costa Mesa. Once in a blue moon, I will hop in the commercial gym, Foothill Gym, where I also train clients out of. But I got into powerlifting probably 6-7 years ago now, just wanted to compete again. I had competed in bodybuilding previously, wanted something to do. My kids had already started getting older, a little more independent, so I figured might as well do something so that I can just keep myself active in the gym and actually just have some purpose to my training aside from just going in there every day and having no end goal.
I train out of Bloomington Normal Barbell Gym, Barbell Club, in Bloomington Normal, Illinois, by Illinois State University. And I got into powerlifting. I had an unhealthy relationship with food and weight and wanted to do something that was focused on the purpose of my body and not something against my body. So that's how I got into powerlifting.
I train in, well, I live in Oakland, California. A lot of you know my husband, Max Ada. And we have a gym called Max's Gym in Emeryville, Oakland area. And I do some of my training there. And I do some of my training out in Dublin, California, where Jesse Burdick is. I have friends out there that train, and I like to train during the day when I'm not a coach or gym owner. So I go out there and I do a lot of my training out there. As far as how I got into powerlifting, I was a competitive weightlifter for 13 years. And in 2017, wanted to make a change and was not ready to retire as a competitive athlete. So I decided to switch to powerlifting and try my hand at powerlifting.
All right, so first question from Mrs. Vix, 433, and all of you don't necessarily have to answer, but anyone who wants to chime in. How do you stay motivated through, you know, whether it's life stress or injury, just finds, you know, balancing being, in her case, a mom, so moms might want to chime in here, you know, balancing being a mom and work and training is very hard for her. So any tips for our Jugger moms?
Joe?
Let's see. So staying motivated, I enjoy training. I really enjoy the process of training. So when I do have a lot of life stress, it is something that I get to go do for myself. So even though it is hard to find time, it's important to me because otherwise I'll overextend myself and spend too much time on my family, my house, the gym, my kid. And yeah, so I just remember that that's my time. So that helps a lot.
Yeah, the gym for me has always just been a place that de-stresses me. So even if I'm having a really stressful day, gym has always been the place that helps take that away and alleviate that. And just everyone goes through stresses. I've gone through divorce, separations, and having to move different households, and those are like big life changes that cause a ton of stress. But the one constant that is always there is the gym. Weights don't change. Weights don't care about your life stresses. It's always the same. So I really feel like that constant actually helps de-stress your life because it doesn't change. It's not changing. And then as my kids have gotten older, it's just been fun to actually bring them into the gym and actually share that experience with them and just watch my daughter train, have fun with it. It's a great bonding time for us, and hopefully she will incorporate that into her life. So as she gets older, when things hit her in the face, which it will, she can always know that she can go to the gym, and that's going to help really just take her life in like a better direction.
And then there was a question sort of similar to this, more directed for you, Maddie, about balancing school and training.
I get that question a lot. I think it's really important to work on your time management skills. And like each semester, I look at how much time I need to spend in classes and really create a schedule that's, you know, optimal and reasonable. So whether I need to go to the gym at 6 o'clock in the morning before clinicals or, you know, afterwards at night, it's just having to, you know, keep that energy when you actually go into the gym and walk in there. Like you guys said, to remember that it's something that you're doing for yourself. And I think it's really important to find something outside of your career or job that challenges you and motivates you. So if you can find time during the day, which you certainly can in college, even though it's very stressful and hard to do, but if you get your schedule with your classes and responsibilities from the get-go, sit down and look like, okay, I can pencil this time in then.
All right, so Barbell Vitality here on the live stream asks, how many hours per week are you guys dedicating to training? So maybe just sort of give what an overview of your training week looks like right now, since I think everyone's quite a bit different.
Yeah. So right now I have 5 days that I lift, and it's a combination of weightlifting and powerlifting. I have 2 days that take me a lot longer, and it's probably like 2.5 and 3 hours. And then the other 3 days are usually like 90 minutes or so.
Well, mine actually changed recently. So we dropped the frequency to about 4 days. And I usually spend, I would say, about 2 hours in the gym. Normally before that, I could probably get done. Like whenever me and Marissa would train together, it would be like 45 minutes. We'd go through like... Wow. We would go through like a peaking block.
Yeah, you're so fast. Well,
yeah, but I would end up finishing around because she was so fast, and you and I always like trained together. So I ended up dropping my 2 hours down to about, yeah, hour, 20 minutes maybe.
I'm also on a 4-day split. It's the old lady program. 30 is not the new 20, it's the new 80. But yeah, mine go fairly quickly. I think the longest it takes me is maybe like 1 hour, 20 minutes, but it's pretty fast.
I train 6 days a week, and I also work at the gym that I'm at, and I'm there at least from like 6:30 to 9 o'clock. So I take long rest periods. I try to cut them down as much as possible, but I'm training for probably about 2.5 hours, 2 hours.
Were we going too fast for you today?
You were going so fast that like the first set, I was like sitting there like, I need to fucking get a hold of this.
Sorry.
I need to tighten it up.
And I train 4 days a week right now, and I think everybody knows I'm the slowest. I'm also the oldest. But my warm-up is probably longer than Marissa's whole workout. So I think I'd say 2 or 3 days a week is probably about 2.5 hours for me to get through training. And the other days, maybe 90 minutes to, 2 hours.
About
50%
of that's the warm-up.
Yes.
About 50% of that is the warm-up.
Are your bench days as long, like, with your warm-up?
No, bench is much quicker. Thanks to Marissa. Yeah. Yeah.
He shamed her. Shaming
works. 60 kilos now.
Hey, Marissa, since you've attended the most, a record amount of
training. Oh, God. The pressure is on.
You could briefly explain why Maddie is training 6 days a week and some of
because Maddie, her training age and her age is actually a lot younger than the rest of us, so she can handle more volume, more frequency. And then it's older ladies and our pretend old friend here.
I was training 6 days a week up until about a
you turn 30?
Month. I'm not 30 yet. I'm not. I have like 4 months. Mm-hmm. 4 months. So I'm not 30. Yeah, so I recently dropped down to 4 days a week, mostly because I've been dealing with some glute stuff. Some butt stuff. So we decided to drop the frequency in hopes that it would help in pain management.
There's just a bunch of comments that popped through offering therapy for your butt stuff.
I also volunteer.
All right, Marie Elsa 878 asks, "How do you keep from psyching yourself out before attempting a new PR, a heavy lift? I feel like my mind always gives up before my body does."
Meg, I feel like you've been the good mental warrior on your posts lately.
Is it because of how long my deadlift took? So one thing that I guess seen like success with recently when I'm attempting a new PR is just like believing that it's on the bar because I can do it, and believing that it's almost that I'm doing it before it actually happens. So like when I approach the bar, like I've already done it, like there's no question in my mind about it. And then the other thing is like not, and this sounds weird because like the weight is absolute, but not necessarily thinking about the weight and just thinking about the lift. Like you can squat, you can bench, you can deadlift, you've done that all before. So approaching it the same exact way you would approach any weight has helped me.
And does Max threaten you?
What?
Max threatens you. If you don't.
And I get threatened by Max for more block pulls.
I think another thing that I've experienced, at least with clients and stuff too, is they're afraid to fail. It's not even that they're afraid of the lift. They're just afraid of failing. And so I like to remind them, like, and I think about it myself too, like, I've failed before. I've failed a squat, I've failed a bench, I failed a deadlift, and nothing awful happened. Like, it wasn't this scary thing. Yes, there are weird things that happen in meets or, you know, tears or whatever, but most of the time, if you fail, you just, you know, take the weights off and re-rack the bar, and that's what I did today.
I'm just thinking of Joanne's bench.
That's rough. But, I mean, you can't be afraid to fail because you just
And when you
recover.
Bench, always have a spotter.
Or don't put collars on.
In a way, though, I think that failing also teaches you a lot. Like, it teaches you kind of, like, what you need to improve on, because you're likely failing. It might be a mental thing, but it might also be, like, a physical thing during the lift or a technique thing during the lift that you need to work on.
Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people, they practice training, and you practice your lifting, but you don't practice your mental side of the things, yeah. And you can't decide you're going to become a mental samurai right before your big, heavy lift. That has to happen during warm-ups, during consecutive training sessions, not just on that one particular day.
One thing that does help me is that if you have the ability to have a spotter there, then I just think I just keep standing up, right? If it's a squat, or a bench, right? I just keep pushing on the bar, and either at some point someone will assist me or the bar will go up and I'll be done with the lift. So in my head, the answer is always yes, or the answer is always up. I never think about anything but the success of the lift. And it'll, if you can yell up for yourself, Meg and I agree that that helps. But that can help with confidence also.
Do you ever get confused about the direction of the lift?
Midway? Like pushing down instead of pulling up on a deadlift?
Yeah. They can get tricky. Let me just give like a quick overview of what your diet is like.
Well, I'll go first. I don't cut weight. I really hover around 52 kilos. The most I get is like 53.7, which then I get scared. Like, so actually just right before a meet, I kind of, you know, will taper off of like sodium and eat like a salad just to make sure that I make weight. Go to the bathroom and boom, you're at 52 kilos. So yeah, so my diet, but I don't really eat bad. I have small meals all throughout the day and then a few snacks. I love to snack.
Snacks are good. Snacks are delicious. I work with RP Strength and they are phenomenal for my diet leading into the Arnold. I worked with Nick specifically. I'm using their app right now. Not just a plug, I think it's really great. And they line everything up for you about when you're supposed to do it, when you're like what time you're supposed to eat in relation to your training. And that's something I really need because as someone that like is just busy or preoccupied, I'd forget to eat if not for like a set schedule of when I need to eat.
I also generally follow RP templates. Nick also started me off and helped me out a couple years ago when I switched to powerlifting. And I generally have more trouble keeping weight on, so I'm either doing a base or massing. And and even if I'm not following a template, that's generally how I like to eat. So lean proteins, lots of vegetables, generally low fat, and lots of carbs around training.
Okay. Yay. I don't know. So I do cut into 57 weight class. So I usually start cutting down like 8 weeks out. I'll start to like, and that's really when I start to track. I do use macros. But when I am cutting, I'm more concerned about like what's making up my macros than anything else. Ironically, since I'm a little bit stricter, it might not be as fun to eat per se, because you're not eating whatever you want. But I usually feel better in training just because I'm also eating more nutritious foods. And I'm much better about like my nutrient timing and things like that, because I am dieting, but I still want to be able to recover well.
So mine's a little bit different because I'm probably the only one here who's underweight for their weight class. So this is the first year that I've actually actively trying to gain weight to fill out the weight class. So my diet is probably very different than it was from a year ago. And I'm still pretty, I still track. I still do the same thing. I follow the RP, their massing. I'm not too anal about like weighing my foods and things like I used to be. But I still track pretty closely.
To the person who's commented in four different posts now, there's not going to be any discussion or demonstrations of piggyback rides. Weirdo.
Moving on.
That'll all happen off camera.
There's just not enough space in here.
There's not.
Green Chef is a USDA certified organic company. Green Chef's expert chefs design flavorful recipes for your lifestyle that go way beyond ordinary substitutions. They have a diverse array of meal plans, plenty of options, including pescatarian, Mediterranean, heart smart, vegetarian, vegan, paleo, lean and clean, keto, gluten-free, and omnivore. So you can enjoy clean ingredients you can trust, seasonally sourced for peak freshness. My personal favorite was the grilled pork chops with chimichurri from the keto menu. Really, really tasty. Made me feel like I'm a way better cook than I actually am, but makes it easy to feel kind of a bit gourmet there. So you can go to greenchef.us/juglife and get $50 off your first box of Green Chef. Go to greenchef.us/juglife, J-U-G-G-L-I-F-E.
If you could, you know, go back to when you were first starting out powerlifting, well, what advice would you give to either the younger version of yourself or just someone who's brand new?
I was pretty fortunate because I came from a bodybuilding background, so I had a really good base. But if I could go back to like my first powerlifting meet, I actually probably would have got good programming and, you know, actually had like a better understanding of hypertrophy strength and peaking and going into it in that way. So if you're new to powerlifting, just get on a good program. Juggernaut AI.
None of you even plugged your RP codes.
I wanted to, but there's like six of us.
So. Yeah.
Well, there'd be like a, maybe that'd be a piggyback relay race to decide who's RP codes.
The ice. We'll do the ice.
Indian like okay. This.
Okay. Right, yeah. Here. beginner advice. Yeah, I agree that it's important to, if you can, if you have the means or someone that's knowledgeable about powerlifting, to have, you know, get some advice from them and to just start off creating good habits from the get-go. Otherwise, I think there's a lot of information out there on the internet that you can find to learn a lot and just to be a sponge and soak up as much information as you can.
I think it's important to remember just to not, like, don't try to rush the process. Take things as they come. Like, you're going to get a lot stronger when you first start, but you will continue, like, if you are, again, like, if you can get a coach or if you can get good programming, that's going to be very helpful for you as you get going. And, like, don't try to do everything at once. Like, take it one step at a time.
I also think that at the same time that you want to be smart about not rushing the process, sometimes I see people who take too long before they do a competition. They think they need to be ready or they need to be at a certain number. And I think it's important to feel confident and understand the rules of the competition. But I also think it's important to sign yourself up for a meet where you don't have big expectations or you're not trying to qualify for Raw Nationals or something like that to go get experience on the platform. Don't cut weight at your first competition. Just weigh whatever you weigh. Take really smart attempts and just get the experience of hopefully going 9 for 9 and having your first meet. And then you can kind of gauge where you want to go from there and work on improving upon those numbers. I was also thinking about that. There was the woman who had asked about staying motivated. And for me, it helps me to stay motivated when I know there's a competition, even if it's far out. Because you don't feel great every day when you wake up. Sometimes you feel really crappy and you don't want to go in the gym. But when I know what my goal is, it's easy for me to do the hard work or the boring stuff because I know it's going to get me to that goal.
I have another tidbit on that, just piggybacking off of that. Definitely don't wait for like a certain total to do your first meet, but also go to a meet and watch them. I was very fortunate, because my first coach ever had been powerlifting since he was like 14. And, I'd probably gone to like 5 powerlifting meets before I even started powerlifting and just kind of immersed myself in that community locally. And that was really cool to see. So just like going to watch how it's done before doing your first meet is helpful too.
Well, speaking of first meets, or at least first big meets, first nationals, maybe, you guys have any... there's probably a lot of people who see you guys lifting and think like, oh, you know, they've probably just always been the best, and it's always come easy, and everything's always gone perfect, but I know that that's not the case.
Nope.
So, any stories that come to mind for anyone?
First nationals is where I met Joe and Max. And Joe walked in and... big old boots and a little tiny plaid skirt, just looking ooh. Fly.
Fly. That's a punk rock
Sailor Moon. And we both bombed out on squats.
Oh, yeah, that's why I was making the joke about knowing the rules. And
but, I mean, yeah. People always get so worked up, like, oh, if you bomb out, that's, like, the worst thing ever. It's, like, it happens. It's not really that big of a deal. And now we're both – she's on her second world team, and I'm on my – fifth world team. So, I mean,
too many.
Yeah.
It wasn't a big meet, but my first meet, I almost bombed out on squats because I jumped every command. So.
Was that in Connecticut at Gleason's?
No, it was at like a Mass Rhode Island state meet, yeah.
My first meet, I kind of did the same thing with the squat where I missed the re-rack command. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, it was like a small meet, so the guy was just like, hey, like for next time, just make sure you wait. this was like way back. So when my first meet was back in 2014. There was actually, I think, three girls at the entire meet who were competing. So I think it was a little bit more lenient then. And then my first nationals, which was actually the second meet ever, I didn't have a coach or a handler. Like, people were like, who's your coach? And I'm like, what? Like, the coach? A handler? What is that? And so I think there is a – she doesn't train anymore, but one of the other girls' coaches handled me at the meet because I didn't have one.
Oh, nice.
Did you remember that?
All right, I'll just kind of fire some quick ones here, so – 10-second or less answers, maybe 5 seconds or less. What's your, if you had to pick one, like, cheat meal, what would that be?
Go. Oh, my God. There's smoke.
I don't know.
Pizza.
I know. Tacos or pizza or quesadillas?
Definitely tacos.
Beer and pizza.
Tequila, too, yes.
Banana split.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Or a bottle of wine.
I just started screaming. I'm like, ice cream.
Give
me a burger.
Like a personalized intro song that comes out as you walk onto the platform. What's your intro song?
Anything Beyonce or DMX.
Oh, you can't.
Sorry. Yes.
All of them.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm Mad Dog, so I need to have the DMX. Just the barking.
Yeah, it's good, right?
Yeah, it's like, okay.
My hype song, and it's not because of the lyrics. I just really like the beat of the music is Low Life from The Weeknd. It's amazing.
I would go Juicy.
That's anything like by Biggie.
Anything by Biggie.
Probably going to do it for me.
But Juicy is, that's when I hit my total world record.
Anything Motorhead or Thin Lizzy, as long as it's not The Boys Are Back in Town.
But so good though.
Do you think that you ever hung out with Gino at a
We must have crossed paths.
Yeah, we're both reached for like the same pair of boots and
the same black eyeliner.
Yeah. What's your favorite lift to train?
Who's going?
Right now, mine is bench.
My favorite would be squat, just because it's the hardest thing for me to conquer. So it's like my favorite.
My favorite is bench, mainly because when I started, I couldn't even use the bar. Like, I had to get one of those 20-pound bars. So I just like it. And it's also like you're napping pretty much, so.
Like a pre-made bar?
Like, it's easiest.
Yeah, like really? to curl with. Like,
oh, that's amazing.
How long ago was that?
Like 3 years ago.
Wow.
And
now you bench.
Look at that glow up. 16. Bench glow up.
We'll see.
Normally I would say deadlift. Deadlift's my best lift, I think. But with my current injury, I've been challenged with training deadlift, so it's few and far between right now, but yeah, I'd say deadlift
right now. For me, it is deadlift, which is weird, probably not gonna last forever, but right now it's deadlift and also cleaning without the jerk.
Oh, I was like,
scratch that other part.
What sport did you do before powerlifting?
What sports did I not make it in? Let's see. When I was growing up, I did gymnastics, and then I played soccer in college, and then I ran marathons and did Ironmans.
My sport was basketball, actually. And then so basketball was my main sport, and then as an off season, I played soccer, and then I ran track.
I did gymnastics, ran track for one season, lettered. Thank you very much. And then I did bodybuilding.
My sport was band, primarily. I was in the drum line. But as a kid, I played soccer for about like 4 years. And then in high school, while I was banding, I tried water polo and palms. And yeah, I didn't do. Yeah,
that's really cold.
Well, like in the school.
Yeah, I didn't even think they played it there.
Not well, but it's done.
I competed in track and cross country for, I don't know, I think, I can't even remember right now, at least 10 years when I was younger, and competed for UCLA only my freshman year until I was sort of injured out of the sport at that point with a lot of sciatica and stress fractures in both of my shins. Did only a lot of partying in my 20s and early 30s. And the sport of partying and the sport of drinking and going to metal shows. And then started up in my, at 34, competing as an Olympic style weightlifter.
Do you think there's a chance as we travel to Scandinavia that we may enter a bar and there's going to be a photo of like, do not serve this woman? Where you're going to walk
possible.
In and the bartender's going to be like, it's her.
I lived in Norway for a period of time. In my previous lifetime, I was married to a Norwegian man with long hair, and I don't think it was Gino.
Not sure.
He did wear leather pants, though.
Norwegian national backgammon.
Yes, he was the national champion in backgammon. Wow. Yes, so sort of an athlete himself.
Of sorts. All right, where can they follow along with these next couple weeks of training for Worlds?
At Meg Scan Lift.
So clever.
It took me a while to figure that one out.
Chris D KRIIS _ D.
At Marisa Ainda.
So is that with a D in the middle or
no, it is not a D. It just sounds like a D for those that can't roll their R. Marisa,
At Maddie Forberg, double D and a Y.
Also very clever.
No double D's, but it's in the username.
At Joanne Ada 7.
What's the 7 for?
I don't know.
Her birth
my lucky
year.
Number.
Yes.
My birthday.
For those of you who don't know, Max is 14 years younger than me.
Girl.
There he is.